Okay, so we're starting a new malacha. So we finished Zoreya, and now we're starting Choresh. Choresh is not that long. It'll take us either this week or maybe the beginning of next week. It might just take us this week. There are not that many Gemaras in it. There are more practical applications than there are discussing of the Gemaras. So perhaps on Thursday we'll get to the practical applications or on Monday. But today I wanted to just go through these are basically all the Gemaras that discuss Choresh. And the main issue as we go through each of the Gemaras is to understand what exactly is the Malacha of Choresh, of plowing. How do we define plowing? What would be the problem with plowing? So we'll go through the Gemaras and we'll try to analyze these Gemaras. So the first Gemara is Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Shabbos Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, which is 73b. On 73a, on the page right before it, is the Mishnah which has the list of all of the forbidden activities, the categories of all the forbidden activities. All 39 malachos are on the previous page. So in the Mishnah, when it lists it off, it says Hazoreya v'hachorish. The first malacha is Zoreya, which is what we first dealt with, which is planting or sowing. And then the second malacha that's listed, we're going in order, is plowing. So what would you think the order should be?
Plowing
and then sowing, right? It should be first be plowing and then sowing, because the plowing is in order to then put the seeds into the ground. So that's what the Gemara asks. The Gemara asks, Michdi, Mirchi Karvi Beresha, listening Chorish, Vahada listening Zariah. He says, I don't understand. First you plow, and then you plant. So we should have the order should be flipped. It should first say Chorish, and then it should say Zariah. So the Gemara answers, no, Tana Beres Yishal Kai, Dizari Beresha Vahadar Karvi. No, because the Mishnah is dealing with in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, the ground was very, very hard. And so therefore, even to just finish off the planting, where you then have to cover the seeds, that also required plowing. So you had to plow before, so that you could have an area to put the seeds in. And then after you put the seeds in, you have to plow again to now cover the seeds. So there's a step in plowing before, and then there's a step in plowing after. Fine. So that's what the first Gemara says. Now,
The English is not that at all.
What does the English say?
So you're suggesting that they first plow, then they sow, then they plow again. Is that what you...
They plow, then they sow, and then they plow again.
Yeah, so they don't talk about the first plowing.
They do. I just looked at it now. But in the last line, it says, in Eretz Yisrael, the practice was to plow a second time after sowing to cover the seeds. That implies the second time implies that there was a first time.
But there's
I didn't write this, no.
Somebody wrote it,
yeah.
It's not mashmah from the Gemara that it's a second plowing.
Well, Rashi says so, but the point, if you think about it, if it's very hard soil that such that you need to plow it just to cover the seeds, so then how would they put the seeds in the ground to begin with?
Then you just put the seeds on top of the ground, and then the plow overturns the ground. So that it gets buried in.
In a regular case, why don't they do that? Why do we ever have to plow first time? So why don't we always just throw seeds on the ground and then...
From the fact that the Gemara says that they would plant and then they would plow, it's fairly obvious that they must have plowed first.
Why?
Because you don't just drop seeds onto the hard ground.
No, so he's asking why not? Why don't... Maybe that's what they did. But why would in Eretz Yisrael, why would that be different than anywhere else? Everywhere else, we first plow to create some sort of hole. What?
You plow the rows and then you drop the seeds in nice rows.
So maybe
that's strong. Maybe they couldn't do that.
Why can't they do that in Eretz Yisrael?
Because even if you make nice rows, you have to put the seeds in and then overturn it anyway. So the seeds are going to get thrown all over the place. So you're not going to have nice rows. I don't know. I'm not
far. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a difference this all makes. But,
I don't think Rashi said that
I think Rashi said that. I'm not sure if that was the Rashi that I quoted, but I didn't quote every single Rashi.
You do.
What? I thought Rashi said it might be a different Rashi that's not on there, but either way, either.
What side of this is this my comment? And it seems to suggest that they sow first and then plow. It doesn't talk about a first plowing. In the
English, or
yeah, in the English.
Well, in the last line, it says it was a second plowing.
Right.
At least.
Is it? in Eretz, the practice was to plow a second time after sowing seeds.
That second time implies that there was a first time.
Yeah.
But the Gemara itself doesn't say that there was a first plow. The Gemara itself doesn't say explicitly that there was a first plow. You don't know. You don't know if there was a first plow or not from the Gemara. Either way, the plowing happened after the planting. So why is this important? So what does this tell you about the plowing? If the plowing happened after, we see that you could be obligated through plowing after planting. So this tells you that the plowing at least doesn't have to precede the planting. It could come after the planting, right?
And be considered an independent.
Which means that it's independent. It's not necessarily plowing for the sake of planting, of sowing, of putting the seeds into the ground, but it could take place after the planting.
But that's for the sake of the seeds going in.
Okay, so that's where you can give it 1 second. Yeah, 1 second. But at first glance, what you would say is one could have entertained the possibility that what is plowing? Plowing is a step in the planting process.
Right.
That first you plow, then you put the seeds into the ground, and one is only obligated in plowing if it's within the context of planting. That you plow in order to plant. One could have made such a suggestion, which is exactly what happened in the Mishkan, where we get the melachos from. It was plowing, and then putting the seeds in the ground based on that plowing. So we see in this case that you are obligated even when you plow after you have planted. You have put the seeds into the ground. Plowing after seeding also obligates you. So that would seem to suggest that plowing is independent of the planting. That's what it would seem to suggest. Right? Yes?
Yes.
So Rabbi Lichtman points out, and as well as others, that it's not so simple. Because you could suggest that, but it's not 100% of a proof, because you could just say that, no, this plowing happens to be a case where you're plowing after the planting, but it's helping out the planting. You need this plowing in order for these seeds to then be underground, to be covered up. And so therefore, really, this plowing is for the sake of planting. It just happens to take place after you put the seeds on the ground. But this plowing is still for the purpose of planting. So it's still possible to say that the definition of plowing is plowing for the sake of planting, even though you could have a plowing which takes place after the planting. You could plant it, and then plowing is for the purpose of those seeds. Right? So you can't prove from this Gemara that plowing is independent of planting. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Barring any Gemara, I would have said that this second stage of plowing is planting. I would have said that this is a ray, covering the seeds with the ground, just like you need to cover the seeds with water, and you need to move the seeds into sunlight and into the seeds in the ground, so you also need to cover the seeds. So I would have said that that's all part of planting. I wouldn't have said that that's plowing.
Well, there are two steps here. There is softening the ground through plowing, and then there's covering the seeds. That doesn't happen all at once.
Right, but I would have said that step of covering the seeds.
Well, we're not discussing the step of covering the seeds. We're discussing the step of
plowing,
which is just breaking apart the soil, making it softer. So at that stage, you're making it softer. You might be right. Covering the seeds might be under planting, because without it, you wouldn't be able to plant. But just breaking up the soil to make it softer.
Rashi says that on the next page, you have the first Rashi that you have. He says that
the
soil is hard and one cannot cover the seed without plowing.
Yeah, but plowing is not the same thing as covering the seed. Plowing is just softening the ground. You cannot cover the seed without softening the ground.
So they would do two steps first. They would plow.
Yeah, you would plow it,
and then they would cover the seeds.
And then they would cover the seeds. Yeah, it's not like plowing is just breaking up the soil so that it's softer. So that step of just breaking up the soil, that itself is harisha, without the covering. Okay, that's the first gemara. There are three gemaras that we're going to get into. Let's get into the second gemara. Second gemara says as follows: the hachorish tana. The Braisa says, Hachorish, if you plow, the Hachofer, if you dig, the Hachoret, Or if you make a furrow, these all seemingly seem to be the same thing. Kulan malacha achasein. They are all viewed, they all fall under plowing. Now, the Gemara itself doesn't get into whether it's an av or a tolda. Right? We had that discussion a while ago, whether something would be an av, like the primary category, or whether it would be a subcategory of plowing. The Gemara itself does not get into that, which is not our discussion for today. Maybe we'll discuss it on Thursday, with these, whether these are avs or toldas. But they all at least fall under plowing. These all fall under plowing. Then we have the following line. Amar of Sheshes. Haisalo gav shushis. So you have a mound, and you remove it inside your house. It's inside your house. Now, they didn't have they had dirt floors. They didn't have the flooring that we have nowadays that we're lucky to have. They had dirt floors. And there was a mound in the middle of your kitchen, and you wanted to get rid of it. So what would you do? You get rid of it. You flatten it out. So we say, what is that a problem of? Why can't you do that on Shabbos? Because of building. Since it's within your house, it's in the structure of your house, so then that's part of the problem of building, because that, when we get to Bona, we'll discuss Bona, when we get to building, we'll discuss building, but it creates a structure, it improves the structure at least, it at least improves the structure of the house. The floor is part of that structure of the house, and we'll deal with it at its time. But if you do basada, let's say you have that same mound, not in the house, but you have it in the field, so now it's a totally different situation. So then, chay mishim chorish. By flattening that out, you have violated chorish. Okay? By flattening that out, you have violated chorish. Let's just finish it, and then we'll analyze this. That was the first statement, the Rav Sheshes. Now Rava comes, a second opinion. Amar Rava. Haisalo guma v'tamama v'bayis, chay mishim bona. So now instead of a mound, you have the exact opposite. You have a hole in the ground. And you fill in the hole with dirt, so that you have a flat, floor in your house, right? So there's a hole in your house, and you fill it in with dirt. So we say you have violated bona, you have violated building on Shabbos by creating that flat. Originally there was a hole, you could fall in, or whatever it was, you could trip, and now you've covered it up, so now you have a flat floor. But if you did that in the field, basada mishum chorish. But if you do it in the field, so then you have violated chorish, you have violated plowing. So let's discuss each case. And what would you think, why it is that you have violated plowing? So there are two issues that you have to deal with. One issue is, in each case, why is this a problem of plowing? What does this have to do with plowing? You take a mound and you flatten it, and also you have a hole in the ground and you fill it up with dirt. Both cases, you have violated plowing if it's in the field, not if it's in the house. The second issue that you have to deal with, potentially, is there's some sort of parallel between building and plowing. The Gemara itself is making some sort of connection between building and plowing. Mm-hmm. That whatever takes place in the house, in terms of the floor, that constitutes building, so the same thing would apply in a field for plowing. There's some sort of connection here between building and plowing. Now you could just say, it's definitely possible to say, and some will say, that there's no real inherent connection. It's just we have the same case, the same structure. So what would happen in the house versus the field? You don't have to say that there's some sort of inherent connection between the two. It's just the Gemara decides to discuss the same case in two different scenarios.
That's sort of a weak position, because it's obvious that they can carry out the task and find out how it works out.
Say, what do you mean by that? What's your question?
I'll come back with that.
Okay.
I think the connection is a simple one, that it's the exact same task, just one is in the house and one's out the house. But it's otherwise...
No, I understand. Yeah, that's what I was saying, that you could just say that it's just the exact same situation, same task of... Right. And that's what the connection is, meaning once we're discussing the mound in the house, let's discuss the mound outside of the house in the field. Right. Or once we're discussing the hole in the house, we can discuss the hole out of the house. That's one option. Alternatively, it is possible to say that, but the fact that we're connecting the two, so then there's also an option of that there's some sort of connection between building in a house and plowing.
Plowing is a
meaning the same action which results in building inside the house tells you something about building and plowing, that there's some sort of common denominator between the two. It's not just you're doing the same activity, but the fact that you're doing the same activity and you have violated building in one scenario and plowing in the other scenario, so then that shows us that there's some sort of connection between building and plowing. That whatever the way you would define building in a house would have some sort of common denominator to plowing in the field.
Because it's inconceivable that that's coincidental, or it's like an arbitrary.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say inconceivable, but there's the reason you could say the reason why the Gemara is connecting the two is to show you that there's some sort of fundamentally they're somehow connected. That's why the Gemara is connecting to them. It's not just because, oh, we're going to discuss the same case in the house and the same case out of the house, but there's no real connection between the two. Just like once we're discussing the case, let's discuss the case. That is an option, but it would flow a lot better if there's some sort of connection between building and plowing. And that's why we're discussing the same case, both in the case in the house and in the case outside of the house. Okay, so that's the second question. Let's get back to the first question. Why is this plowing? Why is this a problem of plowing? So when you have the mound and you level it in the field, so why is that plowing? So that one is easier to understand. Why is that plowing?
Because if there's any seeds directly beneath where the mound was, you've kind of softened it. You've made it easier for water to get down to those seeds. You've made it easier for that seed to grow. You've removed a whole lot of debris from above it.
If you define plowing as making it easier for seeds to grow, then that would be the only similarity. But if you define plowing as just, it looks like the action of digging up some of the dirt, then you could say it looks the same.
It looks the same as digging, as just purely digging. I don't even know if you have to say that it's there to allow for nutrients and water to go to the seeds. You could just say that by softening...
It's making the field more plentiful.
Yeah, it's making it more plentiful because... I think it's softening by leveling it off, so that now you're moving the dirt around, that's softening that floor, that mound which levels with the rest of the field. So that is now soft soil because you've played with it. So you're pushing it around. Now you have.
It has nothing to do with leveling off a mound. It has to do with moving dirt around.
Moving dirt around. It's just an example of creating soft soil.
Then the case should be moving dirt around.
The case should be.
I mean, the case of the Gemara should not be leveling mounds or filling holes.
No, because I don't necessarily have. In the Gemara all the time gives you examples and cases, and then you have to figure out, well, what's the idea behind that case? I mean, the Gemara gives you a case, and then you. We're trying to define what plowing is based on cases. The Gemara is giving us cases.
I'm saying that there's some intricate connection between bona and between building and plowing.
I'm not getting into that yet. I first want to understand how you understand these cases in terms of chorish, and then we'll try to figure out whether there's a connection to bona. But at first glance, the problem with chorish is like what Rabbi Lechon's saying, that it's softening the ground, and that softening the ground allows you to now plant. It would allow you to plant. So in the field, you soften the ground through leveling it off, and now you're able to plant. But what about the other case? The other case is harder to understand. You have a hole in the ground, and you fill it up with dirt. So how is that plowing? You have now leveled off the field. So how is that plowing?
Certainly preparing the soil for planting.
How is it preparing the soil?
Because where there was once a hole is now soft dirt. Where a seed can take hold. It's improving the land. It's improving the
Whoa,
land.
Improving it's, the land. Okay.
It's right.
What do you mean, how is it improving the land?
By preparing it for planting.
Okay, so slow down. Until now, when we've been discussing plowing, I think the only definition we gave for plowing until now was softening the soil, mm-hmm. the earth. Mm-hmm. So are you giving a different definition, or are you holding to the original definition?
Yeah, I'm giving a different definition.
Okay, so you're giving a different definition. It's not just about softening the ground. It's about, what's your definition?
Generally improving the land.
Improving the land. Is that what?
Improving the ground.
Improving the ground. Okay, improving the ground.
That would be a clear correlation to bona, because it's like building. You're like, just like you're building a floor by flattening it out. Same thing, you're building a plantable field by.
Okay. So Adam's 5 steps ahead. So if you define plowing as not just softening the dirt, but it's really about improving the land, which is really a vague definition. Like, how do you define what improving the land is? Like, what? To me, improving the land is one thing, and to you it could be something else. But whatever it is, there's this definition called improving the land.
Or planting.
Whoa, who said that? Maybe an example of improving the land is to do something in the land for planting. But who said that it has to be improving the land for planting?
Well, maybe that's what makes it plowing as opposed to building.
I don't even know if you have to go that far.
Building
is in the context of a structure. Mm-hmm. When you have a house, so you have a structure there. So when you improve the structure, that's building. When I improve land, who said that it even has to be in the context of planting? Planting, plowing for planting could be an example of improving the land.
As opposed to plowing to make it more attractive for resale?
Yeah, to make it look nicer. Leveling the field. When you have a field which has a bunch of holes in it or a bunch of mounds in it, so maybe that just doesn't look nice. But if I were to level that off...
It's never called that. So planting flowers would be plowing because you're making the field look nicer? That sounds very strange.
No, because that... For that was then defined as a separate malacha. You could say that was defined as... First of all, the result of planting is not a malacha. It's the putting in the seeds.
Maybe that's the definition of chorish. I mean, if the definition of chorish is something so broad that it just means any enhancement or improvement to the land...
No, so putting in seeds does not improve the land. But Zareah was an interesting malacha because you do an action which has no direct result, and then the result comes 3 months later. So you could say that for chorish, plowing is where you have a direct result where it improves the land. But putting in seeds would not fall under chorish.
Putting in seeds, I put in flowers. But if it's right, but if you go to Home Depot and buy flowers,
I don't know. Maybe that's chorish. I don't know. We'll see that there are very similar examples where that is chorish.
If you don't have the for planting part of it, then you do open the door for a lot more actions that don't look anything like plowing to be called plowing.
Correct, and we'll get to it in a minute.
What if we qualified the definition? Improving the land through moving the ground around, moving the dirt around.
I don't know. And so let's say for this hole, let's say I got the dirt from Home Depot. Mm-hmm. Would I have violated the chorish? I'm not taking the dirt from my field. I'm taking the dirt from my bag.
Uh-huh.
So have I violated the chorish?
Huh. Why not?
Well, according to this definition, it's just based on moving the soil around. So it's not about the result of having it leveled, but you specifically have to move around the soil within your field.
Adjusting soil.
Adjusting general soil. I mean, once you're saying that, you could also it's possible.
Yeah.
But you could also say that it's about improving the ground.
Yes.
I'm open to.
Yes.
It's true. You could open, but. But the point is that if it's not purely about just softening the soil, so then this Gemara seems to lead in the direction that it's about just plowing, which is improving the land, mm-hmm. which is about improving the land. Now, if you take that, what Adam did was, he said, well, now we have a connection between plowing and building. Because building, you could say, is about just improving the structure, just creating a nice structure, which is exactly the same thing as plowing with regards to a field. And then that beautifully explains the connection in the Gemara. It's not just it's not just that we're taking the same case of having a mound or having a hole in the ground and we'll say, oh, what would be the halacha if it's in a field and not in the house? No, there's something fundamentally, connecting the two malachas of bona and chorish. There's a connection here between building and plowing. The common denominator between the two is just improving either the structure of the house or improving the land itself. Mm-hmm. But then that also helps us to define bona, which is also interesting, because now bona is just improving the structure, which would be fascinating, that it's about improving the structure. It's not just about creating a structure, but it's about improving the structure. In fact, we don't pass in this way, but there are those that, based on this whole idea that we're saying right now, meaning this whole analysis, that chorish is really about improving the land, which is an assumption. Mm-hmm. That's definitely not so simple. It's about improving the land. Once we tell you that chorish is about improving the land, that tells us something about building. Building is not just about creating a structure, but it's about improving the structure. any form of improving that structure would be a problem of bona. So some want to say, that perhaps let's say you have garbage in your house. Mm-hmm. So to take out the garbage would be a problem of bona, mm-hmm. because you're improving the structure of your house. Mm-hmm. Some do want to say, based on this whole analysis, any form of improving your property would be a problem of bona. We do not pass it like this.
If that were true in that building is defined exclusively by improvement of the structure, then would you be able to turn on fluorescent lights on Shabbos? Because we say that for a fluorescent light, the reason you can't turn on Shabbos is not because a spark, because there's no fire in a fluorescent light, it's because you're completing a circuit, which is building.
Yeah, so it would depend on how you define...
A complete circuit versus an open circuit, like open or closed circuit, is not improved.
Yeah, so it depends on how you define what it means to improve the structure of the house. It's a pretty vague definition. Mm-hmm. To improve the structure of the house. Now, alternatively, I think just in terms of going back to the case of where you're putting dirt into the ground, so right now we gave one definition, which is that, you know what, we have to get rid of our original definition, that it's not just about breaking up the soil and softening the dirt. That's not what it is. It's about improving the land. By the fact that the Gemara tells us that to fill in a hole would be a violation of plowing, so plowing is really just, it doesn't mean plowing per se, but it means just improving the land. Plowing is an example of that, which happened in the Mishkan, but the real definition is about improving the land. Now, you could just say that when I put soil into that hole, when I level it off, so then it is soft. You could say that it's, now I've produced soft soil, which I can now then put in seeds into that soft soil. I'm not sure why you can't do that already when it's already a hole. When it's a hole, you can just put the seeds in and then cover it. So I'm not sure what you gained by putting in soft soil.
Planting root in the hard soil.
You what?
If you drop the seed into the hole, and the hole is made up of hard soil.
You're saying it'll never take root.
Maybe it won't take root.
Even if I cover it up. If I cover it up, won't take, is that true?
Yeah, it is true. Yeah.
If I have hard soil.
You have to have soft soil underneath the seed.
Oh, yeah?
Root to take hold, yeah.
What if there's soft soil above the seed and not underneath?
That helps, but much more likely the seed will take hold if there's soft soil below it. So the roots grow down.
Uh-huh. Okay, so then there you go. So then maybe that's why you need to put in the soft soil to then allow the seeds to go in. So you do have that option to explain this Gemara to say that really it's about just creating soft soil. And if I didn't put in soft soil, I would just have a hole there, which then it wouldn't be able to take root. The seeds won't be able to take root. Now that I put in the soft seed, the soft soil, so now I have that potential to create roots because I have that soft soil. So this Gemara doesn't prove to us that the definition is just about improving the land. We're still open with both options. You have that option of either saying that plowing is just about creating soft soil. The second option is about improving the land. And if you say that second option about improving the land, so then it fits a little better. It's not a proof, but it fits better with the Gemara, because then at least there's a nice connection between choresh, plowing, and bona, and building. Because at least both of them are about improving the structure or improving the land itself with that second option. But the first option, it's really, they have nothing to do with each other, plowing and building. It's just that we're discussing the same scenario of having a mound or of having a hole in the ground. It's just the same scenario. What would be the halach in both cases? But there is no fundamental connection between building and plowing. Okay, so that's what...
My problem with that is that everybody understands plowing to be a fundamental aspect of planting.
Okay.
And now you're kind of straying in your interpretation so far away that it doesn't really even need to be involved with planting.
No, I'm not going so far away. What happened was that there are 39 malachos that we cut from the Mishkan. They all come from the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, they did plowing in order to plant.
Right.
Now we know that plowing in order to plant is you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos.
Right.
But the question is, well, what is the problem with plowing in order to plant? Now that doesn't mean, that's not the definition of what you're not allowed to do. It's not just purely plowing. We see that just putting soft soil into the ground, into a hole, is also a problem of plowing. They didn't do that in the Mishkan. They never put soft soil into a hole in the Mishkan. All we know is that they plowed. So plowing is an example of a broader definition, regardless of what you say. whether it's improving the land or whether it's softening the soil, it's not purely plowing. It's not just plowing. It's broader than that. So the question is, well, when they plowed in the Mishkan, and now we take that to say that it's forbidden to do that on Shabbos, so what is it about plowing that's a problem? Is it the fact that you've softened the soil to allow you to then plant? Or is it about improving the land? Plowing improves the land because now it allows you to plant. But that's just an example of what the real problem is. The real problem is improving the land. Right? Because it can't just be plowing. Because we have other cases which has nothing to do with plowing. Which is a problem of chorish. Yeah? You're fine with that? You're not fine with that?
Well, then why couldn't plow it?
Because plowing is what happened. Because plowing is what happened in the Mishkan. That's why they call it plowing. But that's not that's not the definition of what's forbidden. What's the definition? Because more than plowing is also forbidden. What happened in the Mishkan is an example of some for all the malachas. This is important for all the malachas that we're going to deal with. Whatever happened, whatever took place in the Mishkan is forbidden. But the question now is, well, what's the reason why it's forbidden? That's the example. That's the case of what's forbidden. But then, how do you define what are you not allowed to do? It's more than just that one particular action which took place in the Mishkan. You know, I could have just said, you know, plowing the Mishkan was forbidden because they were plowing in the desert. So you're only allowed. What's forbidden is only plowing in the desert. Because that's what took place in the Mishkan. Nobody says that.
Why would they claim
to defend it? So I believe that's either Halachah Moshe Sinai or Chazal through there figured it out. But the way we figure it out is from the cases that Chazal tell us what's forbidden. And then we have to derive, well, what's the common denominator between all these cases as to what the definition is. But it can't just be purely based on what happened in Mishkan, because then all malachas should only apply in the desert between Egypt and Israel, because that's what took place in the Mishkan. So it's clearly more than just that single activity. It's that activity which took place in the Mishkan is telling you, is an example of something of a bigger definition. So the question is, what is that bigger definition? So that's either about softening the ground or it's about improving the ground.
It's a bit misleading that we understand these original categories from the Mishkan as being the av of the malach, in the sense that it is a specific example, you're saying, of
yes.
Something that might be broader than that.
Yes. I think if it's, when we did the avos and toldos, we said within each of the 39 categories, according to Rashi, each category could have multiple avs.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? It means that av is not the definition. You could have multiple avs. There's something bigger than just that av. Okay, so those are the first two gemaras. Now let's get to the third gemara. You know, I'm going to skip for the sake of time, I'm going to skip the third gemara, and I'm going to go on to Rashi. We're going to see Rashi, and then we're going to see the Yerushalmi, and then the Rambam. In the next 20 minutes. Let's skip that Gemara. So I'm on page 2 here. So how does Rashi understand? So we basically gave two different ways of understanding that Gemara on Ayin Gimel Beis, in the case of putting the soil into that hole, or by leveling off the mound. Either it's the definition of plowing is to soften the ground, or it's to improve the ground. Rashi is very clear in his definition. He says in Eretz Yisrael, let's say Malacha Achasein. He says all three are Malacha Achasein. They're all one forbidden activity of plowing. What was it? Plowing, making a furrow, and digging. All those three cases are Malacha Achasein. Why? Eino chayv ala achas. If you do all three, they fall all under the same category of forbidden activities. So therefore, you're only obligated in one sacrifice. Right? We had this a while ago, that if you do it all within the same category, you're only obligated in one sacrifice. Why? Dekulhu, and now this is the definition of plowing. They're all fall under the same category. What is that category? Leripui ara avidi. They're all there to soften the ground. It's all there to soften the ground. So all three fall under this broader category called softening the ground. So it's clear for Rashi, the definition of plowing is softening the ground. That's clear. And he says this multiple times. In the Mishim Choresh, he says if you level off the ground in the field, you've violated Choresh, demirapi ara, because you have softened the ground. And then finally, in the case of where you fill in the hole, this is the last Rashi that we're quoting, ba'afar hanu Choresh, when you fill in the hole with the soil, so then that's Choresha. Afar Shimulabo have a reapway, because that which you're filling in the hole with is soft. It's soft soil. So it's clear for Rashi that his definition for plowing is just creating soft soil. Right? V'tovel Izriya, v'hishvel karka lios nizra im asada. And it's good for the land to lios nizra im asada, to be planted with the field. Fine. Now if you look at the Yerushalmi, which is the next source, the Yerushalmi, and the English is on the third page, the Yerushalmi is clear that it broadens the definition. And this Yerushalmi is not just the Yerushalmi, but it's also brought in Rabbeinu Chananel, who's one of the commentators on the Gemara itself. He quotes this Yerushalmi. So it's also the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel, and I believe it's also, others also hold to this. There's one of the Rishonim is called the Or Zeruah. He also quotes this, a similar idea. So there are others besides the Yerushalmi who hold of this. The Yerushalmi defines it, L'chol davar shu lahanias karka chai mishim choresh. Anything which is lahanias karka, to improve the land, you have violated choresh. And they have a whole list. I skipped a lot of the list. It's a really long list. Part of that list is habone madregos. If you create different levels in the field for improving the field, you have violated choresh just by making different levels in the field. Hamemalas and nekayim shetachas azesim. If you fill in holes which are underneath the olive tree just to make it look nice, you have violated plowing. It's clear within the Yerushalmi that plowing is not just about creating soft soil. It's just l'chol davar shuhulanias karka. Anything which is to improve the land. To improve the land. Just like building is to improve the structure. So then choresh is about improving the land. And then it repeats itself. V'chol davar, in the end, I'm not sure why it repeats itself. But it says v'chol davar shuhulanias karka chai mishum choresh. Anything which you do to improve the land, you have violated choresh. So the definition of choresh, according to the Yerushalmi, which is also brought by Rabbeinu Chananel, is any form of improvement of the land, which would fit very nicely in the Gemara that we quoted before, because then there's a connection between building and plowing. Both are about improving the structure / the field. They're both about improvement of the structure, but it has nothing to do with creating soft soil. That's not the definition. It's not about creating some sort of soft soil for planting. That's an example of improving the land. One example of improving the land is to create soft soil. But that's not the definition for plowing. Now,
just the way that you define this, the two cases of Habona Madrid, I'm assuming it's like the way they plant on the side of the hills in Eretz Yisrael.
Terrell could be.
Yeah, make levels. That's what I'm assuming. So that is an improvement made to the land in order...
Yeah.
The case of filling in the holes under the olive tree, at least according to the way that you defined it, that you're filling in the holes just to make it look nice, that's a whole new definition of just an aesthetic
improvement. An aesthetic improvement, yeah. That's what it seems like. It's an aesthetic improvement, which we'll get to it.
But do we know that the reason why they're filling in the holes under the olive tree is just purely for aesthetics?
Could be to protect the roots.
So I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi say on that. The Yerushalmi doesn't explain anything. But the Yerushalmi does define, just in terms of defining Choresh, it does give, it just says, Lahania Sakarka, anything which improves the land. It doesn't mention anything about planting or softening the dirt. It's definitely a broader definition of Lahania Sakarka, about broadening it, about improving the land. If you recall by Zriya, by planting also, by planting, the Yerushalmi also had a broader definition for planting than the Bavli. In general, as we go through the Malachos, the Yerushalmi is going to have a broader definition for the Malachos over the Bavli. The Yerushalmi has, when they define a Malacha, it's going to be a lot broader than just that particular action that took place in the Mishkan. Then how the Bavli is going to define it. As we go through the different Malachos, it's interesting to see that the Yerushalmi is like that. Your wife can look into this.
So you're saying, in general, the Yerushalmi is much stricter. By broadening the definition,
it makes it much stricter. Yeah. And the Rambam usually often follows the Yerushalmi, and I think he does the same thing over here. If you look on the last page, we have the Rambam. the Rambam says, Hachorish kol shehu chayev. If you plow, what was that?
Sorry, I'm kidding.
You're reading it.
Yeah.
If you plow any amount, you're chayev. And what are the cases? Hamenachesh beikra heilanos. If you weed around the roots of the trees, the hamikarse masavim, and you cut off the grass, or hamizareid es hasarigim kedeliafos es hakarka. I'm not sure exactly what this is, but you prune shoots to beautify the land. It's clear. It's kedeliafos es hakarka, just to beautify the land itself. Hareza told us choresh, mishiyasa kol shehu chayev. So when you do any amount, so then you have violated choresh.
Does that mean like mowing the lawn? It means it cuts off grasses. You mow the lawn, that's choresh.
Looks like it.
Yes, that's what it sounds like, right? I'm not sure. McCarthy, I'm not sure if it's like a general mowing the lawn or if it's like taking out weeds or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's what it is. Like McCarthy himself could just be like taking out weeds that don't look nice in there. But it would be for the.
It sounds like that's what Menachesh is weeding the field.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just like plowing. Okay, maybe it's just mowing the lawn. So anything like that is a problem of choresh. V'chein hamashra pnei asada, leveling the field, which is the gemara that we quoted earlier. Kigon shehishpil hatel v'ridido omila hagai chamish mechoresh. Anytime you level the field, he mentions nothing about softening the ground. It's not about softening the ground. Leveling the field. The problem with the mound and leveling the mound with the rest of the field, and the problem with filling in the dirt, filling in that hole with dirt, has nothing to do with softening the ground. It's all about leveling the field, because if you have a field which has mounds in it, so then it doesn't look right. If you have a field with holes in it, it doesn't look right. When you fill it up and now you level that field, so that improves the aesthetics of that field. It's k'deli yafus esakarka. That improves, that makes the field look nice.
If it's about, the malacha is clearly not just about aesthetics. Because when you have a beautiful lawn and you run your plow through the lawn,
It's not just about aesthetics. It's not just about aesthetics, but that plowing, which is then going to cause planting, is also improving the field. Whatever the definition, I'm not sure what the definitive definition is of liyafos as a karka, improving the ground. I'm not sure exactly. It's a broad definition. It's hard to define. But whatever it is, it's more than just softening the ground. It's improving it aesthetically in order to plant. Those are the cases that we have. Fine. So you have violated Choresh. One final Rambam. And this, the Minchas Chinuch has the following question on the next Rambam. Let's see the next Rambam, which is really a Rambam from a previous parak. And this is the last source here on the last page. The Rambam says, right? So the Rambam is of the opinion of the Yerushalmi to say that plowing means any form of improving of the land. In terms of Halacha L'maisa, they do discuss... based on this, the Mishnah Berurah's definition also, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, takes the Rambam's definition and the Yerushalmi's definition to say that it's about improving the land. The Mishnah Berurah also says that. And they discuss, what about just moving stones off my field? I have a field with stones on it. Doesn't look nice. To move stones off my field, maybe that's a problem of plowing. If it's about softening the ground, that has nothing to do with softening the ground. If it has to do with just making my lawn...
Softening the ground.
What?
I could hear that softening the ground. The reason why you can't plant in that field is because you have these very hard rocks that are in the way.
That's not softening the ground. That's just allowing you. That's allowing you.
But it's much closer in definition than the Rishonim's raw definition of just any general.
If you were removing the rocks, say to make it easier to plow, what would you call that then?
I don't know. I don't know if that would be if the definition is not. If the definition is about softening the ground, I'm not sure you have violated anything. If you just move rocks in order to plant, you have not softened the ground. So if the definition is about softening the ground, you have not...
Softer than it was before. The rocks are not
on average.
I don't know. It depends on the situation. Whether it's not necessarily true that every single time I pick up a rock from my field that I now have soft ground, soft soil underneath it. Hmm. It's not true for every single time, for every single case. I understand probably in most cases it would be true. But it's not true that for every single case that I pick up a rock from my field that I now have soft ground underneath it.
Softer,
yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's true that every time you lift the rock of the field, that little area now is more likely or better able to be planted than it was.
Because I've lifted the rock. Yeah. So I'll tell you why this is fascinating. What they say, because we pass in like the Rambam, that it's about improving the land, there's one posek who says that to move my rock from one side of the field to the other is not a problem, because that doesn't improve the field. But to take my rock off the field, that's a problem, because now I have improved the aesthetics of the field. The stone is no longer there. If I have a stone to the left side of my field or to the right side of my field, what's the difference? I still have that stone there.
Why did I not improve this spot of the field? Meaning, why are we scared? The one about Kolshu? Chorish Kolshu, right? That there's no amount of...
That's a little different. No, because that's chorish, because I have improved the field by doing a small plowing.
So, but who defines my field by the fences that I put up around my field? Maybe my field is made up of hundreds of mini fields, isn't it? So if I take the rock from this,
I hear the definition being. I could understand that, but I could also hear that the field is defined based on the borders that I've given it. That is an open question. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with the opinion that says that the way we define the aesthetics of my field, it goes based on the boundaries which I gave it. The question is that field improved or not based on the boundaries that I gave it?
So you've improved one part, but then you've made a different part rockier. So on the whole,
it's the same. It's the same.
What would happen if before Shabbos you had two holes in your foot, right? And you filled one in right before Shabbos with soft dirt.
Okay.
Right? Now on Shabbos, you take the soft dirt from there and you move it to the other hole. So you would say that that's not chorish, because you didn't improve your field, you just moved it from one spot to another?
I'm not sure about that case. Yeah, I'm not sure what the halacha would be for that case. If you assume that it's based on improving the land.
So you could dig holes in your field.
According to this opinion. This opinion is the heart's fee.
If you had designated in your mind that you're going to grow in that quarter of the field and didn't intend to grow in any other part of the field and use this example, it would be problematic, would it not?
If you only want to grow in that part of the field?
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't. It probably more depends on objectively whether you have improved the field as opposed to what, subjectively how you view the field.
It just sounds like you're defining it in such a way that you're allowed to do a lot of things that really ought to be malacha, such as digging holes in your field and filling it up.
No, you can't dig holes in your field.
Well, if I dig a hole in the field and then fill in other holes with that same dirt, on the whole, the field hasn't improved, hasn't gotten better or worse. It's exactly the same, so I haven't done anything wrong.
No, it's more plantable now. And it improved in the sense that...
I think it improved overall.
Well, I mean, you soften the dirt.
You're softening the dirt. I think it does improve
it. Even according to the Rambam, softening the dirt is an improvement.
Yeah.
Sorry. Assuming the dirt.
So you have improved it.
It's not like your case where you're taking dirt from one place to another, or if the field is sandy or it's already, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But then you could do that.
Assuming that you have not improved the field as a whole.
Assuming dirt's already soft. Yeah.
According to this opinion. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. According to this one opinion.
According to this opinion, you could also have flourish in a field that's not plantable.
That would be a great example also. Could chorish exist in a place which is not plantable? This would also be a very big difference between the Rambam and the Rishlash Yerushalmi and the first opinion, Rashi. Rashi would hold that it has to be specifically in order to plant. But according to this other opinion, who says that it has nothing to do with in order to plant? Maybe it's not, if it's not plantable at all, you could still have a problem of plowing. That would also apply.
Why wouldn't it be plantable? What's
the sand?
Beach.
You know, it's interesting, the contemporary word for, you know, concept of plowing was like excavating, all sorts of excavating equipment. They call that plowing.
You're saying it's broader than just the...
Yeah, it's that broader improvement of the land.
Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so one last point. The Rambam, and this is the Minchas Chinas question.
Just one last thing. In a beach... Right? So digging a hole or softening, that wouldn't be a problem. The only problem on a beach would be, say, like
leveling. Softening is not a problem. Like on a sandbox, softening is also not a problem because
it doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't do anything.
It only enhances the land to make it softer if you can plant there.
Yeah, on its own, it's not softening. Just for the sake of softening, it's not viewed as an improvement. if it's not going to grow anything. So the Rambam, in the previous halacha, so this is where he lists off the 39 halachos. So if you look at the list, what's interesting about the list? Look at his list in the last source here. Or Lichtman whispered it. What did he say? It starts with which one?
Plowing.
What does our Mishnah start with?
Planting.
Zero. Our Mishnah starts with planting. Right? If you look back, well, I don't think I quoted the Mishnah here. But the Gemara, we discussed the Gemara. The Gemara says, ask the question. Our Mishnah says planting and then plowing. And what did the Gemara ask? That's not the order. The order is plowing and then planting. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the Gemara answers, no, it's dealing with an Eretz Yisrael where the land it was very hard soil, so you had to plow after planting. Mm-hmm. After putting the seeds in, then you had to plow after that. So therefore the order is planting and then plowing. But the Rambam, when he lists it off from the Mishnah, he goes back to the original case of Choresh and then Zoreah, to the regular case of plowing and then planting. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, why did he switch it? Mm. Why did he switch the order?
Why isn't it obvious that he's not talking to people in Eretz Yisrael? He's making a more universal statement. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, the Gemara explains, is clearly referring specifically to a case where it's in the land.
So the answer to that is that, according to Rashi, when the Mishnah switches it, it's not just we're dealing with Eretz Yisrael because we want to deal with Eretz Yisrael. There's an added chiddush. There's an added point that the Mishnah is telling us by telling us that Choresh is second. Even if you do Charisha, plowing, after putting the seeds in, you have still violated it, even though you might think that it's in order to, it has to be for the sake of planting. So therefore, you might have thought that it has to be prior to planting. No, it can be done after planting, as long as within the context of planting, but it could still be done after planting. So there is an added chiddush. The Mishnah is telling you something if you have plowing after planting. So that same point that the Mishnah is telling you that you can have plowing after planting, the Rambam should also list that off to say that it's plowing after planting.
Especially since he earlier defines plowing as including beautifying the land. Right?
And therefore what?
It's just internally inconsistent even within the Rambam, is what I'm saying.
Because then you should have Choresh second.
Yeah.
Because it's just to beautify the land.
Yeah.
Okay. So the way Rasher Weiss is a big rav in Eretz Yisrael now. So he gives an answer to the exact opposite of what you said. He said the whole question is the whole chiddush for Rashi as to plowing being after planting. It's only telling you something if the purpose of plowing is in order to plant, in order to soften the ground to plant. So the Mishnah switches the order from your regular order to tell you that no, you could plow after you plant. But according to the Rambam, what's the Rambam's definition? It has nothing to do with planting. It has to do with plowing for the sake of just improving the land. Plowing is just to improve the land. Is there an added point to have it after Zoreah? To have it after planting? You're not adding anything by telling me that it's after planting. Plowing and planting have nothing to do with each other. I can tell it to you before, I can tell it to you after. It doesn't make a difference. Okay. I can mention it beforehand, and there's no added... Would I ever think that I could... that I can't plow after planting? I would never think such a thing. Plowing has nothing to do with planting.
So, if that's true, why isn't that a proof against the Rambam's understanding of what plowing is?
Because of the Gemara?
Yeah.
No, because first of all, he holds the Rishonim had the same Mishnah. It switches the order. For him, I'm not sure if that line is in the Rishonim or not. It would be interesting to see. But for him, the point is that it doesn't make a difference. It just they switch the order because it happens to be that in Eretz Yisrael they would plow after planting. But for him, the whole point of that Gemara is to say that plowing has nothing to do with planting.
But it's not a Chiddush according to the Rambam. So how does the Rambam understand the Gemara?
In the Bavli?
I thought that's what Adam was asking.
In the Bavli.
How does the Rambam say
the Gemara did say it that way. It's
like there's no fundamental point. The Gemara is just asking a technical point. Why is in the list? I would have thought that the order is plowing and then planting. That's normally what's done. And so the Gemara answers there's nothing that comes out of it halachically. It's just technically. The reason why they switch the order is because In Israel, they would plow after planting. Right, so, but there's no added point. According to Rashi, there is an added point. According to Rashi, that's really telling us something fundamental about plowing. Plowing can be done after planting. For the Rambam, it's obvious. It doesn't make a difference. It has nothing to do with planting. It's just a technical point, according to the Rambam.
And you're using, because in Israel, they plow after planting.
Yeah.
But you already said also that they first plow, then they plant, and then they plow again. So they're not really plowing after planting. They're just plowing again. Second time, but they have plowed before.
So I guess that goes back to our discussion about whether they actually plowed beforehand or not.
Well, also Rashi says that the Rambam's allowed to disagree.
Well, with we don't know. I'm not sure. I have to look back at Rashi, but for the Rambam, for sure, he doesn't comment on it. So it's possible that they just plowed afterwards. I'm not sure for the Rambam. But were there two different stages of plowing, or was it just one stage of plowing? But that would explain why the Rambam, he doesn't care about the order, because for him, plowing has nothing to do with planting. So there's no reason for me to mention plowing after planting to show you that you could violate plowing after planting. They're just two separate halachas, the two separate categories of halachas that have nothing to do with each other. As opposed to for Rashi.
So it's a bit arbitrary.
Yeah, it's arbitrary. It doesn't make a difference. And so therefore for him, he has no problem with switching the order from the Mishnah's order. They have just nothing to do with each other. And that's how the Rambam solves it. That's how you can answer for the Rambam. So that's in terms of that. I think on Thursday we'll probably get into the Gemara that we skipped, and we'll get to some of the halacha l'maisa. There's a lot of interesting halacha l'maisa here, with in terms of just creating holes in the ground in order to plant. We'll discuss. There's an issue of sweeping floors, whether you're allowed to sweep your floor because that's leveling the ground in your house. There are issues. We'll discuss it. And then there's an issue: are you allowed to use a wheelchair or a stroller on the ground if your wheels are making holes? Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to wear high heels because your high heels are making holes into the ground? Mm-hmm. There's a whole discussion about playing sports, because if you want to play sports, then you have to have, there might be a rabbinic prohibition of playing sports because you need a, at least for like soccer, let's say, because to play soccer you need to have a leveled ground, leveled field to play properly. So we might be afraid that you might level the field for it. There's a lot of interesting halachic ramifications to Chorish. What we discuss is most of the Gemaras, almost all the Gemaras. But there's a lot more in terms of the halacha. So we'll get to the halacha either Thursday or Monday.
I never wear high heels for that reason.
Yeah. But that doesn't improve the land.